Okay, so let's get moving here again in Simin Kuf Tzadiches, and we're still in the world of Chatzitos. So, and we will be for a while. This is quite a simin; it's very nogel lemaisa, and there's a lot of good stuff, a lot of important stuff over here. So today, our avoda is to sort of define what makpid means in the context of Chatzitos, because obviously it's one of the two factors that determine whether a Chatzitos is a Chatzitos or not. So that's going to be what we're looking to do today. Just to define not just what the word makpid means, obviously, but how it plays out in terms of different people have different hakpados about everything. Some people are very makpid about very tiny things that they find on themselves. Other people are not as concerned about small things. So do we go with the person's own personal preferences, or do we go with the hakpada of Rov HaTzibur, or of some significant number of the Tzibur? So the Beis Yosef has this long discussion over here in Simchot Tzadiches. Umashkas of that which the Torah writes, O afilu eina makpedas of liolam, kibush derech rov b'nei adam la'akbid b'kach chotzeitz. So he quotes the Torah, that the Torah writes that if a woman is personally is not makpid about something ever, but most normal people would be makpid about that very thing. So, kolomar, de batla daita eitzel kaladon. They have to say that it's batla daita eitzel rov kaladon. That you follow the rov, you don't listen to, you don't follow what her personal akpada is. I mean, can you imagine what the Beis Yosef in the name of the Rashba? Can you imagine what the sheet that the mikvah lady follows to determine what's akpada, what's not, what's chatzitza, what's not, would look like if everybody gets to choose what their own chatzitzas are? Everyone gets to choose what their own akpadas are? You need standards, and standards are best made based on the majority. So it can't be that it's nosata d'varech l'shirin, that everyone's going to get to decide for themselves what a chatzitza is. V'chein pasuk harash v'tarus habayis, shekol sheruban makpidos chatzitz, afil b'mi she'ena makpadas, adkan v'chein pasuk rabbeinu Yeruchim. So he quotes the Torah, the Rashba, Rabbeinu Yeruchim, that even if she is never makbid, but others would be makbid, that's a chatzitza. We say batla daita to most of the world. We follow most of the world. And then he just cryptically says, ubesamachecht of mashiyesh lu l'sapik besaras haRambam zeh. And soon I'll get into what I think the Rambam may or may not hold about this. So we have what to discuss as far as Shitas HaRambam is concerned. So let's skip ahead in the Beis Yosef to where he actually discusses what the Rambam says about this. And he writes, Ubedivrei Rambam shekasavti yesh ladun demashma delo tola adavar elik bikpeidasa. That the Rambam implies that it's not about the rov of the world, it's about her personal kpeda, b'kpeda sashal zu, aval meina makpedas, aval bisha derech shar nashim lahakpid, but if she's not makpid, even if other people are, even if most other people are, lo chayitz, it's not a chatzitza, debasar di da azlinon, bein lahakal, bein lahakmir, we follow her, bein lahakal, bein lahakmir, shalok kedivrei harashva of Rabbein Yeruchim, shaksafti b'samuch, not like the Rashba Rabbein Yeruchim, says it's sarkli, but what he's trying to set up for us is in a case where a woman herself is not makbid, a woman is more easygoing, the whole rest of the world is makbid. The Rashba says, I look at the rest of the world, and the Rambam says, I look at her. That whether she's makbid or not is what's going to be the determining factor. Then the Beis Yosef says, and what if it's the reverse? What if it's not that she doesn't care about anything, but the rest of the world would be makbid? What if it's that she's makbid and nobody else would be makbid? She's particularly sensitive. So would you say the same thing, that according to the Rashba, we look at the world and I don't care that she's makbid, it's not a chatzitza anyway? And the Rambam would say, no, look at her, and if she's makbid, then that's a chatzitza? Or would you say that there's room to be machalik? So the Beis Yosef plays it out, and he says, "V'heicha derubanenon makpidos v'zu makpedas misafkali." He says, "I'm not sure what the halacha would be if most people are not makpid, but she is makpid. She is highly sensitive." V'nira dupluta daram v'arashba, and he says, "It seems to me that this is a machlokas Rambam and the Rashba. Sharamam kasa perak beis milts mikvos, because the Rambam has a lashon in the second perak of milts mikvos where he writes." Sa'ara achashenikshira. If there's a one hair that has a knot in it, chotzetzes V'hu she'e makvin aleha. When's it a chatzitza? Only if she's makvin about sa'ara achas. So says the Beis Yosef, a very stark array. He says, how many people are makvin about one hair having a knot in it? Do most people even know if they have one hair that has a knot? We're not even women. We have rough, pretty much short hair in this room. Does anybody know that they don't have one hair on their head right now? And I have fewer than the rest of you, but does anybody know that they have one hair that doesn't have a knot? Who in the world is makvin about that? But yet the Rambam says, if she's makvid, then that's a problem. So you see, the Rambam makes it personal about her, even though it's obvious that the rest of the world doesn't care about it. He says, And you have a similar thing, he says in the tour, that about the dirt under the fingernails. That if a woman herself is makbid about the dirt under the fingernails, even though no one else is makbid about a small amount of dirt under the fingernails, chatzitza! Hilkov misha eino makbid ein chotzitz. But if she's not makbid, rather than sad chatzitza. So mashim dvar behedya shemish makbid lo chotzitz al bishayin derech mingad makbid b'kach. That is the Rambam. But the Rashba says otherwise in Taras Abayis, where he writes, or he implies otherwise, where he writes, what did he say? Adsha. He didn't say Adsha Haisha Makpedes Bekach. Until it's a derech ha'isha lahakbid b'kach. When does it rise to the level of being chatzitza? When it becomes derech to be makbid b'kach. It becomes normal for people to be makbid b'kach. Harei shtal adavar b'derech ha'isha lahakbid v'lo tal adavar b'kpeidasa shel zu. He wasn't worried about this pedos. The first thing that jumps out at you when you see this Beis Yosef is that l'chora, it's the Rambam and the Rashba, L'shitas up, right? Meaning he's setting up two cases. A case where this woman is not makbid, but everybody else would be. And then a second case where this woman is makbid, and nobody else would be makbid. And in both cases, the way he understands Shitas HaRambam, one more explicit than the other, but in both cases, the Rambam makes it about her, and in both cases, the Rashba makes it about the world. So that's the first thing that jumps out. He said it very clearly, the Rambam and the Rashba, L'shitas up. What's a little bit odd about it is, why is it even a double machlokas? I mean, why do you even have to spell it out as two separate machlokas? Isn't it obvious that it's tali zebzeh? That if you can say that it depends on her when she's the oddball who's makbid, then it's going to be tali on her when she's the oddball who's not makbid? And if it's going to be tali on the rest of the world when she's the oddball that's makbid, then it should be tali on the rest of the world when she's the oddball that's not makbid. Meaning he seems to be assuming that these are two separate machlokas, and by a happy coincidence, the Rambam and the Rashba seem to fall out on the same side.
I'm not sure why the Beis Yosef presents it like this, but Machlor, the Tor, is the middle shita, because the second machlokas.
The Tor is so, right, the Tor doesn't line up. Meaning, exactly. Meaning the point, right. The Rambam and the Rashba are happy, but you'll notice when I was saying it the first time, when we were going through the case of a woman who herself is not makpedes, but the rest of the world is makbid, he started by quoting the Tor. And he says, oh, the Tor holds this way. V'chein pasach Rashba. So the Rashba is on the Tor side of things. But then when he flipped to talk about the second case, Heicha deruba nein makpedes, and this woman is makbid, the Tor lands on the other side. The Tor lands on the side of the Rashba. So the Tor would be the raya that the two are not tali zebzeh. And that's exactly why he sets it up like this, because they don't apparently have to be consistent. Now why not? Why not? Like, what's the svara to say? Like, what's the svara to say that when it comes to let's say a woman who herself is not makbid, when the rest of the world is makbid, that we're going to look at the rest of the world. I don't care that you're not makbid, but if a woman herself is makbid, then we're going to look at her. So the svara is very simple. No? A svara? It's one or the other, meaning any hakpada, hakpada of over the world or her own personal hakpada is going to be good enough. Meaning a hakpada may be defined, what was the Rashba svara, why I look at the rest of the world when the rest of the world's makbid? In kela sata devrech l'shirim. Any woman's going to be able to walk into the mikveh, you know, with some sort of massive chatzitza all across, you know, running down her arm, and she's going to say, not makbid, I'm going to, she's going to be able to, she'll be able everyone's going to have a different rule when it comes to chatzitza. But misvara, if she actually is makbid, how do you say that it's batal Torah guf? How do you say that it just becomes part of her body? She's actually makbid about it. See, either way, we're going to go l'chumra that it will be a chatzitza. So it could be that you just have to say no. There are rules, and the rules are based on one or the other. They're based on the majority, or they're based on her. Or it could be that we have to be machmir because hakpada is a combination of factors, and you know, hakpada can be defined by others, and it could be defined by her. So again, to summarize what the Beis Yosef said, is that if the woman is not machmir, everybody else is. So we say, but the daita etzel das kaladim according to the Rashba, but the Rama might argue, and say we look at her individual lack of hakpada. That's why he's not sure that the Rama argues. He says the Rama might argue over there, even though in the other case, in the case of a woman who's makbid about something that most other women are not, he's confident about what the Ramam holds. And he says that's a machlokas Ram and the Rashba as well. That the Ram talks about being makbid when a single hair is knotted, so clearly not something women would be makbid about. And the Rashba implies, why not say it's obvious? No, it's not obvious. The two machlokas are not necessarily do not necessarily have to align with each other. It's a happy coincidence that the Rambam and the Rashba seem to be aligned with each other. But the Rashba implies that makbid is about what most women are makbid about, and not that particular woman in a case when a woman is makbid, but the rest of the world would not be makbid. So, in short, Rashba looks at the world. The Rambam thinks we look at the woman. The Torah thinks we look at both. And yeah.
The Beis Yosef quotes seemingly throughout the Beit HaKatzar that implies that, but the Aruch talks, says that in the Feirush, that even if Rav Olam is not Makbid,
yeah,
and he's Makbid, Fatwa Dato. So the Feirush and the Aruch. So, meaning, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's an even stronger rival with the Beis Yosef saying.
Yeah, so why did he do that?
Why did he do that?
Yeah.
Yeah,
of course, he quotes it all the time, no? He doesn't? Yeah. It's just a question, like, what's his derech? When he quotes Tarzan by Zara, when he quotes Tarzan by Zara, I don't know. Interesting. Okay. Now, the Shulchan Aruch, so in Kuf Tzadikha Sif Aleph, so the Shulchan Aruch writes, he clearly assumes, let's see, seems to assume like the Rashba, that Makbid is defined by people in general, not by the individual. If it's normal for people to be makbid, even though she tells you she's not makbid right now, or even if she says she's never makbid about it. Meaning, it's not only that we're defining makbid as not in the in the moment. We define makbid as being ever makbid about it. No, even if she's never makbid about it, we define it about the fact that that it's the derech. Normal people are makbid about this. Kim shederech rov bnei adam lahakbid alav chotzeitz. If the derech of rov bnei adam lahakbid alav, it's chotzeitz. Now it's interesting. He split his lashon a little bit. He seems to be describing two different things. He starts off by saying that afilu kolshu im derech bnei adam. Derech bnei adam lefa'amim lahakbid. That the fact that it's the derech bnei adam lefa'amim lahakbid in combination with the fact that she's not makbid right now, but she's sometimes makbid, that would be a chatzitza. Or not that it's derech bnei, that it's derech bnei adam, but it's rov bnei adam lahakbid alav, then even if she's never makbid. So what he seems to be introducing is another factor over here, that there's this, that there are many factors that go into hakpada. We try to oversimplify things. and say, oh, you have the Ram and you have the Rash, but it's either her or it's the world. But there are more details over here that have to be taken into account. It's not, it's some combination of her and the world, and there's a difference between a case where the world means the majority of the world, and the world means it's not weird, that it's not strange, right? It's not unusual. So obviously there are always outliers. There's always, right, there are always people that eat like jelly beans, right? That's the example that is good. Right? So you always have outliers. But there are certain things like, I don't know, do, show of hands, how many people eat herring? Okay, so it's less than a majority of the room, so it's derech b'nei Adam to like herring. I think that's weird, but you know, it's the derech b'nei Adam to like, but it's not rov b'nei Adam. So apparently that matters, the fact that it's derech, right, that it's derech b'nei Adam. So the Taz understands, and the Taz like spells it out over here, in some cut and paste, that there are essentially three cases of makbid. First, if some other people are makbid, meaning it's just not weird to be makbid, it's not strange to be makbid, and this woman is sometimes makbid, just not right now, at the moment, so that's a chatzitza. So you have a little bit, you know, her hakpada, what do you call it?
Meter.
Her, yeah, meter. Her hakpada meter, you know, goes up like a little bit, right? And the world hakpada meter also goes up a little bit. No one's hakpada meter is at zero, and no, neither of the hakpada meters is all the way at 100, right? So hers goes up. So that's enough. A combination of her being a little makbid, meaning that she's sometimes makbid, and that the world is, that in the world, it's not weird to be makbid. It's not strange to be makbid. That's enough to make chatzitza. Second, if rov women would be makbid, then even if this woman is never ever makbid, the fact that rov would be makbid, then you have the world hakpada meter at 100, hers at zero, then that would be a chatzitza also. And third, if only some women would be makbid, it would depend on this, on this woman. Meaning, even with the Rashba, if there's no clear conclusion from most of the world, we sometimes default to looking at the individual. So I guess not really a third. I mean, that third point is really the first point. That when some women are makbid about it, when it's not strange to be makbid about it, when it's something that people do, so I'm going to have to look at her and see whether she has any level of hakpada.
Shachar Aruch is only quoting the Rashba L'chumra, but what would he say in the second case? What would the Shachar Aruch, meaning who would he hold back?
Meaning if this woman is dafka not makbid? No, if this woman is dafka makbid and the rest of the world is not makbid, so would you then go l'chumra? Good. So the Shach quotes the Shita Saramba, right? And the Shach writes, "Veheicha d'rov bnei adam ein makpidin, v'hi makpedes." Right? If she's makbid and the rest of the world is not, Chas beisos b'shem Rama matur d'chotzeitz v'chein pasuk abach chinas v'dark Moshe l'kamar b'sim zek safti d'rei Mordechai shchas v'hedyon d'chotzeitz. So if she's makbid but others aren't, then we follow her hakpada. So basically, it turns out that we go l'chumra in both directions, right? If any hakpada meter goes to 100, whether it's her own, that she's makbid right now, or whether it's the world's that rove b'nei adam are makbid, so then that's going to be a chatzitza. When it's not rove, but it's just, you know, normal, it's just derech b'nei adam, then she needs to have sometimes hakpada. She needs to have some level of hakpada. And that's how it seems to play out in halacha. Now, the question is, okay, good. So now we know that hakpada is complicated, right? That hakpada is not a purely personal thing. It's not a purely universal thing. It's either or. It's l'chumra in both directions. It's some combination of the two. Fine. But what do I mean when we say derech rov b'nei adam or derech olam to be makbid? How often are they makbid? I mean, there are very few foreign substances on a person's body that they never ever take off, right? That's derech. Or that rove of the world. Can you imagine something that rove of the world never ever removes from their body? That's not actually part of them. So where do you ever have that? So what does it mean to be makbid? How often do you have to remove it in order for it to be makbid? So over here, the poskim quote, Beis Ozu quotes a Mishnah in the ninth parak of Mikvaos. Eilu chotzin ba'adam. The following are chatzitzas. Chutei tzemer v'chutei pishtan v'aretzuos sheberashei habanos. Rabbi Yudom v'shal tzemer v'shal seir eilu chotzin v'shamayim ba'in bahen. So Mishnah says, strings that women would tie into their hair are a chatzitza. What are strings that women tie into their hair? So you ever see at like amusement parks, they have like these booths where they tie stuff into girls' hairs? Okay, this is where it helps go to YU. Anyone here ever went to a co-ed camp in high school? In high school? Okay, you could have, right? You ever go on a trip like to an amusement park and the girls came back with like stuff in their hairs? Explain it to your friends after. Okay, so there are strings that can get tied into, that can get tied in, they can't do that in BMG. See, this is why you need Yeshiva University education. There are strings that a woman could tie into their hair. The Tanan didn't go to court camps. So that's a chatzitza. So Tosefta says that tight-fitting jewelry is a chatzitza also, meaning a woman wears, let's say, a very tight bracelet or a ring or, a necklace, a choker, kind of necklace, as opposed to like a loose kind of necklace. That's also a chatzitza. So it comes along the Ravid in Balei HaNefesh, V'kashala chutei tzemer chutei bishna rutsu shabarashi abanos amai chotzin halo miyuto sheina makbid hu. Those strings in the hair is a miyuto sheina makbid. So why should it be a chatzitza? So he says, lo! Makpedasi! No, why would you say that's not makbid? That is makbid! So obviously, what he's struggling with is, we need to lock down a definition for the word makbid. How often are you makbid? When do you want it off? When do you want it out? The little tema called Shayna makbid alav shasatvila, elim takbid alav sha achas dovra makbid alav hu. Don't tell me that if there's ever any time, ever, 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 that she's makbid, that's called makbid. She yefsha shalotavir also meal rosha, b'shach shachafavis is rosha. V'chenet avashu b'yadi, yefsha shalotavirenu b'shach salisha, b'shach shiofa m'vashelas. Meaning if a woman would remove her ring when she does a specific activity, even if she's not currently doing that specific activity, then that's called makbid. Meaning if there is something that happens that would make her take this off, and it's something that happens fairly regularly, presumably, right? Meaning she, every time she's chofefes perosh, every time she shampoos her hair, she has to remove these strings from her hair. Or every time she kneads dough, she has to remove a ring from her finger, that's called makbid. How often does she knead dough? I don't know. Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos. She bakes challahs. They didn't have freezers, right? So they would bake fresh challahs for Shabbos every week, right? How often does she shampoo her hair? Back in those days, less often, right? Less frequently than that. Nowadays, presumably, more frequently. As Rav Shachter points out, that even though there's their halachas and shulchan aruch, that if a person touches their head, scratches their hair, whatever, that they need to do netilas yadayim, that doesn't apply anymore. That was assuming that your hair was gross and was full of stuff or whatever. Like nowadays, people shower all the time, that halacha doesn't apply anymore. So now, so the Ravid, right? So if a woman would remove her ring for any particular activity, she doesn't need to be kneading dough as she's in the mikveh. That's chatzitza. What about a woman who never ever kneads dough? What if a woman says, no, I'm not a baker. I don't bake challah. That's why, there are bakeries in town. I'll pay the $5.50 for a challah or whatever it costs. Probably a little more than that now already, but it's more than that. Okay, I'll pay whatever it is, for a challah. And I'm not kneading any dough. That's just not my thing. Or, like one woman told me, I would never knead dough with my bare hands. I wear gloves. Like I don't need white glove service in her house. So she's always wearing gloves. So she would never, meaning essentially she's saying, I never ever remove my ring. There's never a need for me to remove my ring. So do we say that that's called, that it's eino makbid now, that the ring itself is eino makbid? So in the Tshuvas Gan HaMelech, Simon Kuf Chav Gimel, which is quoted over here in the Sidri Tara, I'm not like finding Tshuvas Gan HaMelech, but in the Tshuvas Gan HaMelech, Simon Kuf Chav Gimel, he's making in the context of Netilas Yadayim. And if he's making in the context of Netilas Yadayim, then he's going to be making here too. In the Yam Shel Shlomo, in the 8th Parak of Chul, in Simon Chav Aleph, he says that since men never need dough, their rings would not be a chatzitza. So he's making two assumptions of that, right? That men never need dough, and that men wear rings, right? So one very yeshivish assumption and one very not yeshivish assumption. So he says that for a man, his ring is not going to be a chatzitza because he never ever needs dough. So the Shir Etara, I mean the Sidre Etara, and the Shir Etara over here quotes this Gan HaMelech, and he writes that the Gan HaMelech says Davar Pashut. That the only time we're going to say that a ring is a chatzitz is if you do something on a somewhat regular basis that you'll have to remove your rings for. But if a person has a white collar job, they don't work in blue collar work. So they don't need to take off all their jewelry every time they argue a case in court. You know, they're a lawyer. They're not a painter. They're not doing something that's going to cause their jewelry to get dirty. Or mishein lo malacha, or someone who's unemployed. Shein lachosh lasirim al pagav de mahat kituva mishum davi chatzitza b'miyuto sheino makbid lo makbid leklal. That's a miyut sheino makbid. So someone who never ever takes off the ring, mi yitcheinu makri. V'nebik adin chatzitza tagnin leil kalech lufi mashahu, kagon mochrei reva v'atzeva af pi shashar b'nei ad makbidin. He says, then he adds a detail which makes, you know, which is clear in Shulchan Aruch also, that sometimes I don't look at Rav Ha'olam, and I should have mentioned this earlier, I don't look at Rav Ha'olam and I don't look at the person themselves either. I look at categories of people. Meaning, let's say a person is a painter. So if a person is a painter, they very often have paint on their fingertips. And they don't care, because that's what painters have. They have paint on their fingertips. And no painter ever cares about it. I would care about it, because I'm not a painter. But painters don't care about it. So as a category of people, that would be called Eino Makbid, even though Rov Ha'olam is Makbid. But you could look at a category of people as well. Okay, that's what he just mentions, Agav. He says, Lefiza yesh lomar, bi'isha she'in darko lalush ba'atzma, so it's a Yamshel Shlomo, it's a Chuvas Gana Melech, that a Tabas Anashim, but not just a Tabas Anashim, the woman who wears her rings all the time, or who wears gloves when she needs dough, it's not going to be Chatzitza. Comes along the Shir HaTara, Mikomakom Ein Lahaka. Given the Bishulchan Aruch Kan, Uba Or Chaim, Kosov Stam, to Tabas Mudah Chatzitz. The Shulchan Aruch in Kutzadi Chas Nyordain, the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Natilas Sidaim, in Arachayim, when the Shulchan Aruch needs to come up with a case of give me a classic example of a Chatzitza, because it's a Mila Makbid, it goes with Tabas. A ring is a classic Chatzitza. So don't tell me, yeah, if you fit into the, if you're the kind of person that takes it off. No, it's a classic Chatzitza. He says over here it's a low plug. It's not like a category of people that you would say based on that category of people who don't work or don't do blue collar jobs, so it's not going to be a problem for them. Just like the category of people that are painters, it's not going to be a problem for them. He says, no, over here it's a low plug. It's not. There's no such category of people as far as blue collar jobs, white collar jobs, not working or whatever. Then he says, "Bapidiyavid, efshar bidiyavid v'shim shadiyesh lahakal b'nidonzeh." Meaning, if it's very bidiyavid, not just she went to the mikveh and was with her husband already. And now she calls up and says, oh, I realize I have my ring on. I left my ring on. So that then we could be making. Yerach HaShulchan is stronger about this. Yerach HaShulchan over here, in Osmun Beis, quotes this Gan HaMelech, Shein Lahachmel Mishi Yishol Melech HaGroh, Udvorm Tmumeim, Vu Negev Kol HaPoskim, Utmiyani Al HaSidrei Tara Sheivizeh, V'chas HaSholom Lahakal Bazeh, V'tzorach In God. Yerach HaShulchan has tainas on the Sidrei Tara. What did the Sidrei Tara do? He quoted the Gan HaMelech so that he could argue with him. Right? That's the only reason he quoted the Gan HaMelech. He quoted the Gan HaMelech and the Yamshel Shlomo so that he could argue with them. And so he could be Machmir. Or Chashulchan says, what's wrong with you, Sidrei Tara? How could you introduce the world to the Gan HaMelech? No one ever heard of the Gan HaMelech. And now you're showing them that there's such a shita and they're going to believe that they could rely on that? How could you do that? Just let people be happily ignorant that there is such a Gan HaMelech. They'll follow what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that Tabas is Chatzitza. They won't ask any questions and leave it at that. He's assuming they're not going to find the Marshal either. You know, might find the Marshal, it's more likely they'll find the Marshal. In Aruch Chaim, in Kuf Samach Aleph, which is a Siman and Tilsi Daim, in Aruch Chaim, the Taz in Sivkat and Dal, the Magen Avram, Sivkat and Yidal, the Mishabur, Sivkat and Yitaz, quote the Marshal. that for men we're makel on a ring because they never need dough. But if there's an Evan Tova in the ring, then it would be a problem even for a man because he would take it off, you know, when it's likely to get dirty. I mean, no one is it. You know, there's no one if they have like a very delicate ring that you know that would leave it on all the time. There's always going to be times where a very delicate ring would need to be taken off. Now, when you look, yeah.
Evan Tova is delicate or expensive?
Expensive meaning one that you're more concerned about, one that you'd be more concerned about. Or you're doing something, you know, you're on a tiyul and whatever, and you're going, you know, I don't know, water rafting or something like that. You know, where you're just more concerned. Things to be more concerned. Now, when you look in Hilchos and Tilos Yedayim, it seems that it should be an exact parallel. And that's not just something that the poskim realized, the Tilos Yedayim. I mean, that's a Mefurish Gemara, right? Just to be clear, right? It's a Gemara in Chulin and Daf Kuv Avam Beis. The Gemara says, there's a third, area of halacha that's not so, unfortunately, not so relevant nowadays, that also fits into this category. That's kiddush yadayim v'raglayim in the mikdash. But the Gemara says explicitly, the dinim for netilas yadayim and the dinim for chatzitza are going to be the same. So that l'chora would indicate that for Ashkenazi women, if let's say an Ashkenazi woman has a ring that she never ever removes, she wears gloves when she needs dough, or she never needs dough, whatever, she never ever removes that ring. Right? So what would you tell you? Let's assume you pass them like the Marshal and like the Ganamelech. Right? So you can say, so we could be making, it's not a chatzitza. Yeah, it's not a chatzitza, but if the halachas are exactly the same as they are in Dine Chatzitza and Yoredeya, the Ramah paskins that even a Miyachena Matvid we remove. Right? We remove even a Miyachena Matvid. So maybe for Nathil Saddam we should also remove even a Miyachena Matvid. No, you hear? So that would mean that an Ashkenazi woman would have to remove it. Can you make an argument otherwise? So what's the basis for that Chumrah of the Ramah to remove something that's not even a Chatzitza? So the what? The difference between the chachil and the diav, meaning that when the Gemara says that a miyachena machbid engos gzera l'gzera, that means we're not going to be gozer that the tevila was invalid. But the Gemara also would tell you to remove it. The Rama might say, in which case same should apply by netil zidayim, right? But if the basis of that Rama is like Rav Shachter thought that. Since each limb of the body, right, what was the shit semi'iri? That just like the hair, the seir is b'fnei atzmo, so to kol eiver ve'eiver is b'fnei atzmo, has to be measured separately. So I don't know, would you say such a gezeira within the hand itself that they have to remove it? I mean, it's not so posh. It could be that was a gezeira that they just met, that Rama just made for tevila, and that he didn't make for netilas yadayim. Meaning the dinim. Of Netilas Yadayim and Chatzitza the same. Are the Minhagim of Netilas Yadayim and Chatzitza necessarily the same? Are the Chumras of Netilas Yadayim and Chatzitza exactly the same? It's Mistava that they wouldn't be. Like, why is it Mistava that the Chumras wouldn't be? It's simply high stakes and low stakes, right? What is the name of Netilas Yadayim? I mean, we listen to Dinim de Rabbanan and we're concerned about that, but like, you know. And also, not just high stakes and low stakes, high risk and low risk. What does a woman lose if, before she goes to the mikveh, before she leaves her home to go to the mikveh, she takes off all of her jewelry and puts it in a jewelry box and closes it and locks it? What does she lose? Netilas Yadayim? No, she's at the pizza shop and she ordered, one slice of pizza, two slices according to her Maisha, one slice according to everybody else. Right? And she wants to wash. So she takes off her ring and puts it next to the sink. Something could slide. And it could, I don't know. These rings are expensive. So the stakes are a lot higher, and the hefset is a lot higher. So you know you have to be mishar schar mitzvah negative seida. You know, I got when I wrote this piece. I wrote a piece about this, about rings and tilos yadayim in my second sefer. What inspired me to write that piece. Was that I got a call from one of the Rebbeim in DRS, Rabbi Aryeh Kov, and he said, I just had the most chashva interaction with one of our talmidim. So I said, okay, you know, I'm ready to be inspired. Well, he's up for inspiration. He said, the guy just got engaged a couple of weeks ago. His kala called him from the pizza shop. And she said, Joey, because his name is Joey. She said, Joey, are you sitting down? And he's like, no, what's the matter? She's like, just have a seat before I tell you this. He's like, you're scaring me. Is everything okay? She's like, I'm at the pizza shop. I took off my ring to wash. I put it next to the sink in the pizza store. I did an etilas hadayim. I went back to my seat. I left my ring there. I realized halfway through my slice of pizza that I forgot my ring there. I went back and it was gone. Not insured. So Joey said, oh, thank God, I thought something was actually wrong. It's just money. Pretty good, no? Joey Rosenfeld. That was back a little while. Pretty good. Win for Neo Hasidim. Rabbi Savlovsky wiped the floor. I'm here to build you back up. Okay, we'll stop that. I was like, okay, wait. So Rabbi Cohen was asking, do you hold that? You know, do you think that she actually had to do that? That she has to take off her ring for Natilas Adayim? So the Chora, it's this mach, if she needs dough, she was a college, she wasn't married yet, she never needs dough, right? Meaning, maybe after she got married, she started needing dough. But if she needs dough, so then, of course, it's Chatzitza, she has to take the ring off. But if she's not someone who needs dough, now you have the Machlokas, Gan HaMelech and Narshal on one side, and the Shirei Tara, and the Aruch HaShulchan on the other side, right? But one might say, I don't care. Even if you're going to be maker like the Gan HaMelech, like the Marshal, you should follow the Chumrah of the Ramah, the Chachila at least, to remove even a Miyutrein HaMakbid. So the Chorot should be removed from the Tzilis HaDayim. Now, Beis Yosef in Kuf Samech Aleph, makes the point that the reason rings are makbid is because they're removed b'shas lishan. And then he says, and even if it's loose, you should remove it, because there's another option with the ring. Bein v'tvila b'mikva bein b'netilas yadayim. If she has a loose-ish ring, she can just slide it up and down the hand. And if she does that, l'chora that should do the trick. Right? If she slides it up and down the hand. So the Beis Yosef writes that even if it's loose, she should remove it. Because we're not pekiyim in what's considered loose. And because if you allow toveling with loose rings, people will tovel and do netilas yadayim with tight rings also. In Shulchan Aruch Kuf Samech Aleph Sif Gimel in Aruch Chaim, he writes, Tzorech lahasir atabas me'al yodo b'shas netilas yadayim. No distinction between tight and loose rings. So for Sephardim, right off the bat, you got to remove all rings. Comes along the Ramah, va'afilu hu rafui, and even if it's loose, va'afilu ein ha'makbin ala b'shas netila, hol makra b'sha'osa malacha, shlo yitnefu, v'nagu k'tsas lahakel im hu rafui, av liyesh lahachmir k'yanonu b'kim ezim mikri rafui. Well, he gives you, opens up a little pesach for you, that if it's rafui, nagu k'tsas lahakel, that there are some people that are mekel, doesn't like it, but there are some people that are makel. Yeah.
Surely it's not called basar if you hold the ring like one hand and then that part that you're in your right hand and you're holding the ring, but it's not going into the water. It's like,
yeah, but if your hand is wet already from beforehand, let's say you're in the mikvah, so your hand is wet already. It's like by tefilas kelim, is that discussion? Do you have to let go of the kli? Right. So what's the kelim say? If you hand it from one hand to the other under the water, that's okay because the moisture that's on your hand is not going to, is going to be considered mitzuruf to the rest of the water in the mikvah.
Don't you need afas by tefillah? You need the whole entire body at one moment?
Yeah.
So it's like holding and letting go. It's
two separate.
No, no, meaning it is. Where are you worried about the chatzitza?
You're holding the ring with one hand.
No, but your hand's already wet. So it's at the moment that you're holding it, it's mitzuruf to the rest of the moisture on your hands, mitzuruf to the rest of the water. The Shulchan Aruch in over here in Kuf Sadiches, right, by Tevila Dal Raisa, not by Nitzil Zidayim, that roughly is Eino Chotzitz. That roughly is not a problem. He doesn't, it's not clear from his Lashon whether he means that Mutul Chatchila or just that it's not a Chatzitz B'dieveh. Right? I mean, over in Hilchos Nitzil Zidayim, the Mechaber gives you no indication that roughly, that a loose ring is any better. And Adrab in Beis Yosef, he said, we can't be makel with loose rings. And over here, where the stakes are higher, he says, roughly Zeno Chotzitz. The Beis Hillel over here points out that in our Chayim, the Mechab is not Mechalik between Mehudak and roughly. And the Ramah says over there that we're Machmir by roughly, Lechadchila. Quotes from that Beis Yosef. But it can't be. How could it be, says the Beis Hillel, that on the Rabbanan of Nitzil Sidayim, we're going to be more Machmir than on the Daraisa of Tevila? Meaning, the Mechaber gives us this kula of roughly in Yerodeya. He doesn't give it to us in our Chayim. And therefore, says the Beis Hillel, L'inyan Tevila, Yesh Lahachmir, Afilu B'diavad, Afilu roughly. However, Pesachei Tshuva Sifkat Yud Gimel writes that it seems that the Achronim disagree. And they say that only lechadchili should be machmir, but b'diavad also la tevila, not just b'diavad im shimsha, b'diavad if she went to the mikvah. If you look in Pesachei Tshuva Sifkat Dalet, he points out that according to the Beis Yosef, the Torah paskens like Rabosef Shel Rashi, that even b'rafwe and amayim nechnasim, it's going to be a chatzitza. But b'shem l'vushei srad, he writes that lahalacha the ikar is like the preacher and the drisha. That if the mayim is nechnasim, even if it's rove and makbid, it's mutter, and he brings a lot of rayas from it. He brings a lot of rayas to that. So it's an anomaly. It's a strange thing that you know he doesn't reveal the whole picture. Not just doesn't reveal that he's more machmir in Hilchos Nitzil Zidayim than what he says explicitly in Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Chatzitza. Another point to make, though, and this point is made by the Chasam Sofer in the Tshuva in Yerodeya and the Kuf Sadi Beis, so you know from the Marshal. The Marshal, we said, was a big kula, right? The Marshal wanted to say that if you never remove it, then it's not a problem. He says from the Marshal, it's muchach. What does it mean if you never remove it? Is there anything that you never remove, that you never ever remove? So Chasam Sofer writes that. Removing means you're removing it because you're makbid. But if you remove it for other reasons, then that's not a chatzitza. He said, a man also removes a ring, and this is the example that he gives, when he puts on tefillin, when he takes lulav, he's going to remove a ring. That's a pasha. He's going to remove a ring when he puts on tefillin and when he takes lulav. It's a big chiddush that you can't take lulav or put on tefillin when you have a taba'as al yada. So Rabbi Nasha Klein in the Tshuva in Chelik Beis of Nir Aleph writes, "Vida d'midivrei chasam sofer anal lamadati dasu laniach tefillin ala taba'as v'chein litolis esrog v'taba'as al yada v'nir d'sfir leidu mitzad adin." He quotes Ramah in Tafresh Nun Aleph in Hilchos Dalaminim. Where the Ramah writes, "V'nagu lahachmir lahasir atfilin v'taba'os miyadam, aval midina ein lachush, v'ein kol yad mechusa behem." And the Shabura quotes Kama Achronim, the Bach, the Taz, the Gra, that even midina we should be makbid because of a chatzitza, even though it's not kol yad mechusa behem. He says, "V'alkenim notal ba'ochlo hisir atfilin min yadav v'taba'os yachzuri yitlanim below bracha." That the Shabura is actually makbid, that if you took esrog without taking your tefillin off your hands. So okay, so for those of us who don't put a tefillin on a chol hamoed, never a problem. We're never going to have tefillin on our hands. But if you take esrog without removing the tefillin from your hands, right? For those who put on tefillin on a chol hamoed, you still have your tefillin on and you're taking the esrog. What? Right, minhag is to take it off before halal. Why? So, okay, maybe now we have another explanation as to why the minhag is taken up for
Allah.
To keep it until after Allah. So this would explain that very nicely, right? That you don't want to have a chatzitza with esrog. You're not walking around during halal on Pesach with matzahs in your hand. So, and even if you did, it wouldn't be a chatzitza. It would just be weird. So that chumrah about the dal minim is based on an aguda in Parak Makam Shinagu in Pesachim Simen Nun Hei, where he writes Yesh Makpidin. I called the rachot is ben aluv ben ayad ulkach masinim tzitzios utfilin min ayad v'nashim tabo sehen. Beis Yosef disagrees. So bottom line is, says the Chasam Sofer, you may have reasons to take off your ring that would not make it a hakpada, meaning it's not even called that you're makbid sometimes. When you take off your ring to take lulav, to take esrog, when you take off your ring to put on your tefillin, because you don't want a chatzitza between the tefillin and your hand, that's not a problem. I mean, that's not called that you're being makbid, because you don't really care that your ring is there, you have a mitzvah to do with putting on tefillin, and that's what you're worried about. The hasar is not mishum kapedos, because you want to clear space for the lulav and for the tefillin. So it turns out that even if you are masirum mizman, you do remove it every once in a while. If you don't do it because you're makbid, the etzem on the taba'as, or because you're concerned that the taba'as is going to get destroyed, then that's not called makbid. In the Chuvus Maram Ash, in Chuvus Imrei Eish, in Yerdea Simenai in Vav, he says the Tanai, that you never remove it, does not mean that lo'olam mamish eino masirum. It means that you don't remove it for a very, very long time. So that's the important ha'ara of the chasam. So now it happens to be with tefillin, for example. Like if you have a ring, would it even be a chatzitza for your tefillin? Meaning, the only place where you have a really problematic chatzitza for your tefillin is above the elbow. Right? Below the elbow is not really a problematic chatzitza. Okay, so the chatzitza, we try to take things off, we try to remove. Ravad Yosef has a tshuva, right, about wearing a wristwatch. Or if anyone is zochet to have a baby and they give you the thing in the hospital and you accidentally, you don't think, and you have them put it on the left hand and you'd like to be able to visit your wife and child, right? So, but you also want to be in kind of the midst of tefillin the next day. Right? So, it's not a problem. Ravadi points out he has a shuvin yechavadas. He quotes from, who was it that had a problem with it? What? The Dovid Meisharim had a problem with it. And then Ravadi says, but I, Pam Pikashti, and Bala Mechaber Dovid Meisharim, who's Dovid Meisharim? Cheating, you know what I wanted to say. He says, Pampi Gashti, I once saw the Chibina Rav, I was walking in Yerushalayim or whatever, and I saw the Chibina Rav. He must have been walking, like the only way you run into the Chibina Rav is if you were walking between his Gemara and his eyes, meaning like that's a, but he said, I once ran into the Chibina Rav, and I asked him, like, why are you machmir about a watch? And he said, why wouldn't I be machmir? It's chassidus by tefillin. And he said, but it's down here. The Chibina Rav said, it is? I thought they wear it up here. And he didn't know. I mean, it makes the Chibina Rav sound like really like very mufka from the that he never used. I guess machmir like Rav Chaim Kanievsky there. I don't know, but if you have a chatzitza, Rav Shapta said there was once a boy in about a bus in the neighborhood here in Washington Heights who had gotten remarried, his second marriage, and he went and he started complaining to Rav Shapta. He said, my wife's son he doesn't listen to anything. It's really terrible. He's violent. He's a karkafta de la manach tefillin. So he said, really? He seems like a firm boy. He said, no. He puts a tefillin and he leaves his watch on. And I yell at him all the time that you're not yotzei the mitzvah tefillin. You need to take your watch off. And so Shach was like, maybe don't yell at him. maybe leave it be. It doesn't, okay, l'chadchilu, we remove everything, l'chadchilu, we remove anything that would get in the way. Good. Now, the next chatzitza issue relating to taba'as is not a taba'as on the hand, but a taba'as bebeis harecha. So this is a, a significant discussion. There's a Tshuva Zichron Yosef that's quoted in Pesachei Tshuva Sifchat and Aleph, where he discusses the shayla of chatzitzas taba'as harechem. It was placed in the rechem for some health reasons and was only removed during childbirth. So is that called the imakvi to remove it? So he was makil because it was so rarely removed, and it would be dangerous to remove it more frequently. So it's difficult to understand in light of the raivid, right? Meaning, if the woman is ever makbid to remove it, right? So then it's a chatzitza. It's going to be a problem. That's called makbid. So here too, the woman is ever makbid to remove it. Yeah, ever, by childbirth, she removes it. So there's a time that she sometimes, that she might be makbid to remove it. So Rav Moshe in tshuva to his brother of Mordechai, in Yardei Chelgal Simen Sadi Zayin, Os Aleph, Rav Moshe had a brother that he used to learn with. The two of them learned with the father. I think in the beginning of the 8th volume of Igros Moshe, when it tells the story about how Rav Chaim Eiser had heard about Rav Moshe when he was young. So it was what was the story? I think it was also a chatzitza related issue. That yeah, it was about, well, we'll get to it in a second. It was this tshuva, even it was this topic where Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky and Rav Moshe disagreed about something, and they said, we'll both go to Rav Chaim Eiser, we'll write up our opinions and send it to Rav Chaim Eiser and see what he says. So Rav Moshe was very young at the time. Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky was older than him, and they both, Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky was an established rabbi, no one knew who Rav Moshe was, and they wrote these tshuvas and they sent it to Rav Chaim Eiser. And the family heard later that when Rav Chaim Eiser received Rav Moshe's tshuva, he said that I also have a tshuva on this topic, and I come to the same conclusion that Rav Moshe did, but he wrote it up much better than me. He has better rayos, and he has better, he understood the sugya much better than I did. So in that introduction to Igros Moshe, it says that Rav Chaim Eiser started making inquiries. Like, who is this guy? This guy is just like, it's like when the Chazanish appeared in Eretz Yisrael, like someone just like landed from another planet, and he like is better than everybody. So like he wanted to know, and he said that he heard that there are two brothers deep, deep in Russia that are learning Torah the way it was learned in the days of Ravina and Ravashi, or something like that, some expression like that. And that was Rav Moshe and Rav Mordechai, but Rav Mordechai died young, so the world never got to hear from Rav Mordechai. So Rav Moshe wrote this tshuva to Rav Mordechai, where he discusses this Zichron Yosef. Is that, well, I guess I'm having a fun time. It's fine for me. I don't know if it's fine for you. So okay, so maybe tomorrow we'll get into that Zichron Yosef. So take a look. It was Moshe Yordei Chelik Aleph Simen Sadi Zayin, and look at the rayas that he brings. He has a lot of very fascinating. He has a fascinating shita and a lot of rayas, and also Chsam Sofer Yordei Simen Kuf Sadi Beis. Right, those are going to be two key makaros for tomorrow. Kuf Tzadi Beis.